What is it? Sorry?
No clue.
No clue. Lisa, did you ever use this? Yeah. Pseudo cream. And what does... Can you read that word? Do you know what that says?
Expecting
and pseudo cream. So this is a clue to an Old Testament character. Do you know what? One of you can do it. I'll pin that there.
I'll take this one.
Expecting an Old Testament character. Let's find out what Matt's going to speak to us about. You can go sit down. Thanks, Reuben.
To be honest, it's the first time I've ever had a talk introduced with the phrase expecting pseudocrem. So we're going to briefly look at Nahum. Now, he's a character that appears in the Old Testament, and he can be found in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5, for those of you who will diligently go home and read it after the service. Worth looking out. I would point out that I'm not a doctor, but I can fairly confidently say if you have leprosy like Naaman did, pseudocrem might not be the first thing to reach for. So who was Naaman? Well, he was a general in the Syrian army, so he was quite an important man, and we read in the Bible that he actually won quite a big victory through the grace of God. So that was God giving victory to one of Israel's enemies. But he also had leprosy. And at the time, and even today, that would have meant he was a complete social outcast. So he's a really powerful general who's also a complete social outcast. Now, in his household, there was a servant girl, a little young girl, who was an Israelite. And she knew of a prophet called Elisha. And she said to Nahum, go and see Elisha and he'll be able to make you better. Now, Nahum, despite being important and powerful, thought, well, I really want to get rid of this leprosy. It's not very nice. So he goes over to see Elisha. And he's on his way and he's thinking, oh, I'm quite an important man, so Elisha's going to give me some quest. I'll be so important, I'll be in the next Tolkien book. I'll be in Lord of the Middle East. It'll be something like that. It's going to be great. And he gets to Elisha's house. And Elisha sends out a servant. And Nahum sees this servant coming towards him and he thinks, I'm really important. I was expecting a welcome and you've sent out a servant. And the servant told Nahum to go and wash in the river. Now, at this point, Nahum just, that's it. He goes off on one. And he's thinking, I'm really important. I've travelled across the world to come and see you and you've told me to go and wash in the local river. There's two at home I could have done it in. I'm important. Are we a bit like Nahum sometimes? Are we expecting to get more than we do? Are we expecting to be treated as important? Do we perhaps overlook what really is important by thinking about ourselves? Elisha told Nahum to go and wash in the Jordan because he knew that God would heal him. Not anything Nahum did, not anything that Elisha did, it was God. Perhaps at Christmas, are we expecting presents to make us feel special? Are we expecting lots of food to make us feel happy and satisfied? Or actually, are we expecting a little tiny baby to be the centre of Christmas? Are we expecting to look for Jesus in Christmas? It's really important at this time just to put aside our expectations of perhaps what we'd like to have and take a look around and actually see what God is doing. You know, the Israelites were expecting a Messiah. They were expecting a powerful soldier. They weren't expecting a helpless baby. Perhaps it's important for us to put aside our expectations and expect to bring God's love, God's hope and God's care, not just to our family, but to our friends and to those around us in need. Amen.
It's Matt. Right, so we've got three open. Let's go for another. I think it's too early for a song. Come on, Maisie. Can you pick one with a green dot, please? Can you reach in? Let's see that. Can you see what this is? Can you get that out? Do you know what that is?
Syrup?
Might be syrup. It's actually oil. Oil. Does look a bit like golden syrup. Can you reach in? What's that? Do you know what this is?
Flour.
We've got some oil and we've got some flour. Let's lift you up. Can you reach it?
Yeah.
Can you see it? And a coin. Good girl. Shall we see what this word says? It's a tricky word. Can you read it? Good sounding out. Hoping. the word hoping an Old Testament cow with some oil and some flour. Do you know what that story's about? Oh, do you know what? I think that's wonderful. Thinks it's about God. I hope it's about God too, because it's in the Bible. Good girl, Maisie. I'm hoping someone's going to come up and speak about it. Steve, oh, he's hopping.
And I'll use a microphone nevertheless. Hoping, oil and flour. This reminds us about a story about a widow from the Old Testament. Now, you can read about her in the book of Kings, 1 Kings 17, 8 to 24. And this widow lived in a place called Zarephath. Now, when we meet this widow, they're in a time of famine. There is no food in the land. And she is so poor that she has nothing left in the house except for a tiny little bit of oil and a tiny little bit of flour. And she and her son are out looking for some sticks and twigs to make a fire so that they can cook their final meal, because everything looked completely hopeless. And this poor lady and her son had given up, and they thought, just one more meal and that's it. Then we'll have to sit down and die, because we have no hope of any other food. But then, as she was out gathering the sticks, she met a man called Elijah. Now, Elijah was a man of God, and Elijah brought some hope into a story where there was no hope. Because you know what? Elijah brought God into it. And where God comes into things, then hope sparks back into life. And that's exactly what happened to this poor widow. Elijah said to her, could you cook me some food? Cook me a meal. And the lady says, well, that's all we've got left. And Elijah, that's okay, just make me a biscuit or a cookie, that's all. Now the lady could have said, no, we haven't got enough left for ourselves. But she didn't. She was hospitable, and she sensed there was something special about Elijah. And so she did. She cooked a meal. And the long story cut short. What happened is Elijah said, right, now your oil and your flour will not run out until the famine ends. And suddenly there was hope back in that lady's life. Suddenly there was hope brought back into it. And it was brought into the lady's life when Elijah brought God into the picture. And you know, hope crops up an awful lot in God's dealings with people. Way back in the book of Isaiah, God offered hope to the people of Israel at the time. And he said, hang on, because I'm going to send somebody special. And I'm going to send somebody special to do some very special stuff for you. This is what Elijah said, God said. He will not falter, this special person. He will not be discouraged until he establishes justice on all the earth. In his teaching, the nations will put their hope. Now that was something that Isaiah said. It was a message from God. And do you know that message from God actually came true? That hope was realized. And we know that because in Luke chapter 2, just after Jesus had been born, an old man, a man called Simeon, even older than me, an old man got to hold the baby, and he looked at that baby and suddenly he realized in that baby, the hope of the world is wrapped up. There in that baby lies the hope. And Simeon said, my eyes have seen your salvation, God, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, that's you and me, and glory for your people Israel. Simeon realized that in the baby Jesus, the hope of the world was locked up. And that's something very special for us to consider at Advent. Because as we lead up to Christmas, let's remember that Advent is a time of hope. All is not lost. God has promised, and he promised his son. And in that son is the hope of the world.
Oops, they knocked your calendar over.
No, thank you. Right. Should we have a song? I think we should have a song. Right, who can come up? pick and open another. Yeah, if you want to. This is not showing. Do you want to come and open something? No. Come on then, Valentina. No. Anybody? Come on, Liam. There must be some adults who are secretly thinking, oh, I wish I could go and open it. Be brave like Liam. Right, a red one with a... So I think there's only one left, actually, Liam. They put a chocolate coin in for you? No. Oh, yeah, there is. Don't worry. I think this might be one of Liam's favourites, actually, Liam.
The song, Our God is a Great Big God.
Oh, I think it's one of his favourites. I think he'll join in with the action. So, do you want to stand? And if there's anybody who knows the actions, feel free to come and join us. That'd be great. Please do stand up. Right, I wonder, somebody else, come and pick a green door. Anybody, come on, Charlie. Wonder what Old Testament character will have. What is it? Show everybody what... A crown? Yeah, looks good. A coin. What does it say?
Waiting.
Waiting. And a crown. Waiting. Thank you, Charlie. Anybody?
I won't keep you waiting. 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 And a crown. Well, that reminds me, certainly, and it probably reminds you too, of somebody in the Old Testament who was made into a king. And his name was David. But it didn't all happen straight away for David. You can read the story in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Because the prophet Samuel came to David when he was just a young lad. He was probably only about... I'll get a microphone, okay? He was probably only about 15-ish when the prophet Samuel came to David and said, I'm going to anoint you and I'm going to make you king. That was great, except that there already was a king in Israel at the time. And so David had to wait to become king. I just can't wait to be king. Does that remind you of anything? But anyway, that wasn't what David sang. David was not impatient. David was very patient. In fact, David waited for getting on for 15 years before he became king when Saul was killed in battle. David waited for 15 years. And then it took another 7 years before he became king of the whole country. He only became king of half the country at first. So that was a pretty long wait. David was patient. I have to say, I'm not a bit like David. I don't like waiting, and I bet you're the same sometimes. You know, things that I hate waiting for. Waiting to queue in Sainsbury's, to pay in Sainsbury's. I hate it. You know, you pick what you think is the shortest queue, and it never works out because they've got it set so that the till roll always runs out when I get to the queue. Or they have to send for someone because someone else... Yeah, you know the story. I hate waiting in Sainsbury's. I hate waiting for computers to load as well. Doesn't that drive you around the twist? That's why I love Amazon same-day delivery. You know, there's a company that's got it sorted. No waiting. But David knew that God had made him a promise. David knew that he would one day be king. And so he was prepared to wait. And you know, David was so prepared to wait and trust God that actually he passed up two chances at least where he could have got things going a bit quicker, where he could have moved God along a bit faster. He had two chances to kill Saul and get rid of him. And David's men beside him couldn't understand why David didn't take those chances. But David said, no, God has said I'll be king. I will wait for God to move in his time and in his way. And that's an important message for all of us, isn't it? Waiting, because God has promised all of us all sorts of things. And I bet you can be sitting there and think, yeah, God has promised me this, and I'm waiting for it. And I'm having to be really patient. David waited, but he didn't sit there twiddling his thumbs, doing nothing. David made good use of the time. And there are some people that do that, you know, when they're waiting. My mother, whenever she had nothing to do or was waiting, she would knit. Waiting for a bus, knitting. Waiting for the cooker to pop, something to boil on the cooker, knitting. Waiting for me to get home, knitting. She used her time profitably. And David did the same. He didn't knit. I have to say. David used his time to do good for people. David worked very hard to make things right for people that were in trouble. He used his time very wisely to do good. But in the end, David does become king. But also, that waiting paid off for David. But God said, okay, hang on, David. I know you've waited to become king, but I've got another promise for you. And that promise will involve waiting as well. And in 2 Samuel chapter 7, you discover God says to David, your house, your kingdom will last forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. Now, there's a long wait, hey, forever. There's a long wait, forever. And David, yes, he waited and he became king, but he had to wait for God's promise to come true. And in fact, the whole world had to wait. The whole country of Israel had to wait. And that promise began to come true when the angel came to Mary. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 31 to 33, the waiting that God had promised David came to an end. And the angel says, you will conceive and give birth to a son. Another 9-month wait. You'll conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him... Oh, here's the bit that David's promise, David was waiting for. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. And folks, that's who we're waiting for. That's what Advent is about as well. And let's not lose sight of that. Advent is a time of waiting. The world is waiting as we remind ourselves about the birth of Jesus, who came into the world as God's promised Savior. Advent is a time of waiting.
Thanks, Steve. Right, one more green. Well, Annabelle, would you like to do it? Do you know what? I think you might need... Oh, do you want to bring Grandpa with you? Because it might be a little bit... Can you reach? Can I lift you up so you can lift? Oh, do you want to open this one here because it's not been opened? What's in there? What is it? Do you know what it is? Show everybody what it is. I'm not sure it's a tiger. Show everybody what's that.
A lion.
Good girl. Got a lion. And we've got a chocolate coin. Would you like to swap that? And should I take this word off you? It's a really long word. Praying. An Old Testament character with a lion and praying. Ooh. I think that one might be a little bit easier.
Old Testament story involving... Clearly, we're doing Noah's Ark. The animals went in two by two. Just the one left. And Emily, for Christmas, when you get bored, you can play charades as well. Other Disney films are available. Actually, I'm glad we found Tiddles, because I couldn't sleep last night. Of course, we're looking at Daniel in the lion's den, probably the most famous story in the Bible involving Daniel and a den of lions. And we're looking at prayer. Now, prayer actually is central to the story of Daniel and the Lion's Den, not as most people may think, a den full of kittens. King Darius ruled over the land, and Daniel had been appointed one of his officials because the king quite liked him. And some of Darius's other officials didn't like Daniel. They were quite jealous of the fact that Daniel was one of the king's favourites and Daniel was an exile. So they came up with an idea. They went up to the king and they said, wise, mysterious king, we think it would be wonderful if nobody prayed except to you for 30 days. And poor old Darius got a bit, that sounds quite a good idea, I'll have a bit of that. So off they go, and they make this decree, and it becomes law that you are only allowed to pray to King Darius for 30 days. Now, Daniel wasn't having any of that. He's like, no, I know... God is the only God. God is the most important. I will keep praying to God. And so three times a day, he'd kneel down at his window so everyone could see him. He didn't hide away. It was in full view. And of course, the Weasley, other king's officials were all there, presumably with their telescopes, waiting for him. They'd taken a picture, but evidently it takes quite a long time to chisel that out, or a bit of papyrus. So they were like, yes, he's doing it, he's doing it. So they went up to the king and they said, Darius, yeah, Daniel, he's not praying to you. And at which point Darius went, don't! Because Darius quite liked Daniel and he tried to find a way of getting him out of it and he couldn't. So poor old Daniel was tossed in with a bunch of lions. They put the stone over it and the king went to bed. Next morning, king gets up, rolls away the stone, and there's Daniel sitting there playing with a bunch of kittens. Sit. They say never work with children or animals. As soon as Daniel got in the lion's den, he got down and prayed. And at that point, when Darius saw that Daniel was still in one piece, he actually praised out. He kind of said, look, you know, your God is the only true God, and every mum must pray and worship him alone. So prayer really is important. Prayer should be important, not just when you're chucked into a lion's den, which thankfully doesn't happen too often these days. But it says in Ephesians that we should pray on all occasions with all kind of prayers and requests. Prayers don't have to be big and grandiose. They can just be small. Just, please help me get through school. Please help me get through work. Please help me stay awake long enough to get home for lunch. It doesn't matter, as long as you're praying sincerely and praying to God. Perhaps there's a time at Christmas as we're coming up and we're thinking through Advent, perhaps to pray for our world. There's an opportunity tomorrow, but goodness me, the world does need a bit of love and hope at this time. So we can take our expectation and hoping and waiting and actually start praying for this little tiny baby who remember coming in on Christmas Day, that he brings love to the world. He teaches us just to love each other, and that's really important. So I'm going to hand over to Anushka, who's going to continue in prayer.
Thank you. I don't know if, like me, when we watched that video about Advent, felt a little bit guilty because actually we're using the time to rush around, and perhaps I haven't stopped to think, to remember what Advent really is, not just a time of preparing for Christmas Day, but a time where we can connect to God. And so we're going to spend a bit of time saying sorry to God and then praying for some of more specifically about those four words. So if you join me, closing your eyes, let's pray. Lord God, we praise you for sending light into this world. We are sorry that we live as though the light had never defeated the darkness. We're sorry that we ignore Jesus, the Saviour you sent to be among us and to live in us. We sometimes get so busy rushing around, thinking about what we want for Christmas and all the jobs that we have to do, that we forget about the real meaning of Christmas. We're sorry when we've used our time in Advent to just get ready for Christmas rather than focusing on you. We thank you that when we say sorry, that you forgive us. Amen. We're just going to spend a couple of minutes, perhaps in silence, perhaps praying in family groups, just to reflect on what Steve and Matt have shared about those words. Perhaps the expectation, the expecting God to answer your prayer in a certain way, a bit like Naaman. He expected God or Elisha to behave in a certain way. And sometimes we can feel that God has not answered us or heard us because we don't get the answer that we expected. Perhaps you're hoping for something. Perhaps you're hoping that a member of your family would come to know Jesus. You've been hoping for something else, and that's really hard, but God will meet us in that place. Perhaps God has promised something to you, and you feel that God has spoken, but it's waiting, just like King David had to wait 22 years before, or 15 years before he became king. Sometimes that's really difficult. You might want to speak to God about that. Just for some of us, actually, we've forgotten the art of praying, the art of talking to God about everything, thanking him and asking for him to come into situations that we find difficult. So we're going to have a couple of minutes, and Steve's going to just play on the keyboard. And I just wonder, in family groups or by yourself, just ask God to speak to you.